Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast, and today I'm sharing with you three lies that music teachers still tell themselves. Hey, beautiful teachers. Today I want to share with you three different mistruths that most music teachers believe and why they're harming your studio so much. Lie number one, that nobody told us but we all believe, is that method books, or in some countries, exams, are a curriculum. They're not. A curriculum is supposed to show us everything that we're supposed to cover with a student, all the aims of learning. And that's not what method books do, and it's definitely not what exam syllabi do. But it's often how they're treated in music studios. Now, I'm actually not knocking method books or exams. I think method books have a place in almost every studio, and I think exams can be very useful for some students. But they are not a step-by-step curriculum. If you follow them, your student will not know everything there is to know about music, or even necessarily the most important things about music. I think we need to rename method books to reading method books, something like that, because that's usually what they're about. Now, some of them have bits of improv thrown in, bits of technique, other stuff, but it's not everything you need about that. It's mostly just everything you need about reading. It's a step-by-step way to learn to read music. And that's great. Reading music is great. But it doesn't mean it's everything for your lesson. So if we find ourselves in a lesson and we haven't done anything that wasn't on the page in the method book, I think we might be missing something. I think we usually are. And that's not the fault of the method book authors. Now, the bigger one here is the exams, and this is something that is specific to certain countries, namely within the English-speaking world, not the USA. It's mostly about everywhere else. Australia, New Zealand, Canada to a certain extent, definitely the UK, and definitely Ireland, where I live. Many teachers treat exam syllabi as if they are curricula. And they're so far from it. There's supposed to be an assessment of how far your student has come. They're not supposed to take your student somewhere, really. Now, they do progress skills. I'm not saying they don't, because learning any piece is going to progress your skills. But they are not supposed to be everything you learn. And yet in many countries, in many studios, that's how they're treated. The student only learns the list of scales that are there on the next grade for the exam. They only learn three pieces out of that exam list in an entire year. And I know because I was that student. I've been through this. And many of us will have seen it as well. Exam syllabi, and this will come directly from any exam board you talk to, in my experience, they're not supposed to be a curriculum. They're not supposed to tell you everything your student should learn and everything you should teach. They're just supposed to be a list for the process of assessing a certain grade level. So, if you find yourself falling into this trap, try this. Try from a blank slate, if you can, making a list of what you would want your student to know after each 6-month period of lessons. This is basically the process we do in my course, which is called Curriculum Checkpoints. But you can do it on your own. You don't need to be a member of Vibrant Music Teaching. You can do this in your own way. Make some lists about, I think every 6 months is a good milestone rather than every year, but you can do it whatever way you like, about what you want students to learn. Because the thing is, it won't align perfectly with any exam syllabus or any particular method book. And then you can use method books and exams and know that you're able to fill in the gaps of what you think is important for a student to have experienced and to understand at each stage of their learning. Lie number two. This one I find pretty infuriating. So I'm going to try and keep my metaphorical hat on. If you're not making enough money you need more students. Or even, which irks me more, your number one goal as a teacher is to get as many students as possible. I mean, there are teachers out there who believe, or seem to believe, that anyone who teaches a smaller number of students is somehow inferior and shouldn't be teaching, that part-time teachers shouldn't exist, I don't know. But yeah, the lie you're probably telling yourself is, I just need more students, and then I will feel like I'm making enough money. Now, that could be true in a certain limited circumstance. If you have decided how many students you need in order to make an income that you have defined that you are comfortable with, then yes, if you think you need more students, you do. If you decided you need 30 and you're only at 29, then great. Keep recruiting, keep looking for another student. That's not most cases, though. Most teachers have no idea what the ideal income even is, so they don't even know what the target is. And then they haven't worked out how many students it would take to get there, and if those students would fit in their schedule. Those are some big factors. And most teachers that I have come across, many, many of them at least, would be better served by raising their rates, because they haven't done it since 1982, than by, that's a slight exaggeration, but I bet there's someone out there listening right now who hasn't raised their rates since 1982, or at least 2002. Most teachers would be better served by raising their rates than they would by just filling their schedule more. You don't have to teach the maximum number of students who will fit in your schedule without any breaks. That is a recipe for burnout. It is not a recipe for making enough money, especially if you haven't decided what enough money is. Lie number three is some variation on, if you run your business effectively, you're not a creative. You're not a musician, you're not an artist, whatever way you want to put that, this comes up a lot. And it's usually a lie that you don't know you're telling yourself. It's usually underneath some of the decisions you're making and the things you're avoiding. Listen, if you're a self-employed music teacher, you're a business person. I'm sorry if I'm the one to break it to you, but that's the truth. You're running a business. You can call yourself a freelancer or self-employed or a solopreneur all you want, but you're a business person. You're running a business. And the sooner you admit that to yourself, the quicker we can move on and feel successful. And if you are successful and you make enough money to live comfortably, even, shocker, that doesn't make you not creative. It doesn't make you not an artist. Okay? This myth, this lie, this abomination goes through so many circles. Artists, musicians, really anything. I mean, even scientists will come to this sometimes. They'll feel like they're a sellout or they're not true to themselves if they just take their finances seriously. How are you going to serve the people you want to serve? How are you going to teach music effectively if you can't pay your bills, if you're stressed, if you're in a mode of scarcity because you can't possibly keep yourself afloat? How is that a recipe for being a good teacher or a good musician or a good artist or a good anything? It's just not. So take the business so seriously and don't feel like it's a waste of your time or you're selling out. And it doesn't have to be painful either. You can set up simple systems that run for years with you doing barely any work for them. And when you do that, the truth is, you get to be creative. When you are so stuck with all the business nonsense because you're not setting up systems to actually run these things for you, when you're so stuck in that, you can't create anything. You have no space to create. All you're going to do is consume. To like fill your brain with TikTok videos or whatever your vice is. Sorry for calling TikTok a vice, but I'm not really that sorry. When you only have the energy for that, you can't create anything. You are not a creative because you never create anything. You're just pedaling a bicycle that has no wheels. Again and again and again. So take your business stuff seriously. Make it efficient and effective. You can do this. You can set up systems that run for you in the background. If you need help with that, we have a course inside Vibrant Music Teaching called Smooth Studio Systems. The clue is in the title. It's about setting up systems in your studio that run smoothly without much effort from you, so that you can spend the minimum time thinking about the business and the maximum time on being a creative. These are just three of the massive lies list we could have come up with. I would love to hear your top myth or lie that you think is pervasive in our music teaching industry and how you've addressed it with yourself or whether you're still struggling with it right now. Vibrant Music Teaching members get 5 new games or resources at least every single month that keep them inspired and wanting to become a better teacher each and every day. If you want to join the best community of teachers online, you can go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.